Okay, boys, today's daf is daf Ayin Aleph. We're starting a brand new perek. The Mishnah begins on Ayin Omid Beis. And the Mishnah tells us about Zvachim Karbonos that got mixed in with other animals. And we're going to discuss in our Mishnah about five or six different categories of other animals in which the Karbonos got mixed in, and therefore, what are the ramifications and what are the remedies, if any. So we start off with Kalaz Vachem Shinis Arvu, a Zevach, a regular carbon. A person had an animal, he was Makdashid for a carbon Shlomim, for a carbon Oila, whatever it was. And it became Mu'uriv, it became mixed in with Chatois HaMesois. What a Chatois HaMesois? We've had this many times. Chatois HaMesois is a very, very special halacha, halacha L'moish Misinai, that there are five different types of a carbon Chatos, which unfortunately go L'misa. What are those five? It's a very Gesundheit, very famous mnemonic. Barry will remind us of the mnemonic. V'simna hoisa pilegish. V'simna vov tof mem nun ayin. Five letters altogether. V'simna was a pilegish to...
So vov is...
Elifaz, right? V'simna hoisa pilegish l'elifaz. But that has nothing to do with us. We're not worried about elifaz. What we're worried about over here is v'simna. Simon, the Vav stands for Velad Chatos. In other words, most Chatois are Kizbor Seira Nekevois. What happens if they mated with... I'm sorry?
The mother of Amalek.
Yes, the mother of Amalek. Exactly right. So, we have now a Behema, a Kizbor Seira, that became Muktosh to be a Karman Chatos, and it gave birth to a baby. That baby is called a Vlad Chatos. I would have thought, okay, let's go and bring that for a carbon as well. And the answer is no. Aloch l'moish b'sinai, it goes l'misa. That's the Vav. Then the next one is a Tuf. What does a Tuf stand for? Tumuras Chatos. Let's say Tumuras Chatos. If you have a Chatos and you have an animal which is chulin, and you say Zu Tumuras Zu, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that for any carbon. But what happens if you did a tamura? Then it depends. Exactly. And now what happens with all of those kabbanis? Biderech klal, those tamurais are also brought for a carbon. However, not in the case of a chatas. Chatas, a tamuras, chatas, goes lemisas. And that's the vav and the tuf. Then the next one is mem. What is? Oh, mesubaleo. You had the Uncle Smith who set aside a carbon chatas to bring. And en route to Beis Hamikdash, unfortunately, there was a car accident. He was run over, Rachmon Litzlan, and he was not able to bring his carbon. So what do you do with that carbon now? Carbon she tilchata shemesu ba'aleo. Once again, it goes lemisa. And then we go on to number four. Number four is the nun.
Niskapru ba'aleo b'acher.
The carbon chata sheniskapru ba'aleo b'acher. The nun stands for niskapru, meaning that, for instance, this carbon chata got lost. He had to go and bring another animal for Karm Chatos, and then after he brought the other animal for the Karm Chatos, the first one reappears on the scene. Maybe we can't bring it now for this chayt because he already had a kapara for this chayt. Maybe we should bring it for another chayt. And the answer is, once it's in Skapa Balev Yachar, it's again one of the Chamish Chatois Mesois. And the final one is an Ayin, and
that's
Sha'av Rishanasa. Typically, you bring a Kizba Seira, it's a young carbon. What happens if it now had its birthday, now it's into the next year, it's already too late to go and bring my Karm Chatos. What do you do? That's the halacha of the Chomish Chatois Mesais. Or you have a case of a Shor HaNisko. Shor HaNisko, as we know, means typically a Shor that unfortunately went and gored and killed someone, and as a result we have two Edom that it killed someone. And now the halacha is you have to go and give Skila to that Shor. In both of these cases, the Chatois Mesais and the Shor HaNisko case, it's not only usher to bring for a carbon, it's usher banor to the baal. The baal cannot have any hanor from the Shor HaNisko. In fact, the Gemara says about the Shor HaNisko, it says in the Pasuk, yeah, that's one halacha. But there's another halacha that says that the baalim have no rights to it anymore. Okay, anyway, there's a Pasuk that says that they don't have any more hanoah from the Shor HaNisko, and they cannot have any hanoah from the Chosov. Balabai is Naki. Balabai is Naki from the Chosov. I have a Naki, and it's something Naki. Ephes Anoki. Good. Anyway, Shkoyach. So, what's the halacha? All of these things are not only osur the gvoya, but they're also osur the hedyot. In other words, you're not allowed to have anah from them. So, if you have a korban oil lamosha, which got mixed up with this one sharanisko, or one of these katois and mesois, or afilu achas miriboy, or if it got mixed into even 10,000, what's halacha? Yemusu kulan. All of them have to go. And unfortunately, go to Misa. Now, when it says in our Mishnah, "Afilu achas b'riboy," that language on the surface, if you don't think about it much, or yeah, even it gets mixed into one. But if you look at it carefully, you're saying that you have one zevach, one carbon oil lemoshel, just to throw an example, got mixed into 10,000 chatois mesos, or in 10,000 shurhaniskos. Now, let me ask you, what's the likelihood of any one of these animals being the kosher zevach? And what's the likelihood of any one of these animals being one of these Isuri Hanoah animals? If you're talking about 10,000, L'choyre, that's a Tova Poshet. I mean, this one would become bottled by 10,000. And it says, therefore, Yamusu Kulan, the other 10,000 are already Yamusu Kulan. All we're doing is we're just throwing in one more. What is the Afilu Achas Bariboy? If we'd say one zevach with one other chatas mesa, or one other sharnisko, or two, or three, or whatever, okay, I can understand the Mishnah tells us yimusu, and I feel even if it's 10,000, if it's 10,000 b'shteitzik yimusu, because you have the overwhelming majority is 10,000 against one. The other 10,000 have a din already of misa, even before this zevach got mixed into it. And therefore, obviously, the real pshat in the Mishnah is just the reverse. What means just the reverse? That what happens if you had one shor hanisko l'moshel, or one chatas hamesis, that gets mixed into 10,000 good karbonois, you have a corral full of 10,000 oilois, or shlomim, or whatever, and among them, one just was able to sneak in from the outside, a shor hanisko, or one of the chatois hamesois. Maybe the reason why they tried to sneak in, they figured they would become batel beroiv and bemeya and beelef and in 10,000, and nobody would be able to identify which one it was. Rabbi say yemusa kulan. All 10,000 have to, unfortunately, go lemisa. So the Loshon HaMishnah, as we'll see in the Gemara, it's not called as vochem shenis arvu in the achas mariboy, but what it's really saying is that even if you have a situation where you have one shur hanisko that got mixed into achas bariboy, one out of 10,000 kosher karbonis, one shur hanisko nebuch falls into this big mixture, and I cannot identify which is the shur hanisko and which are they not, all of them yemusu kula. We'll talk about this more in the Amud
Beis. You're mentioning karbonos, but it's true also for chulin? I mean, it's...
There are five or six categories in our Mishnah,
okay.
And in Yetz Hashem, we're going to get the case of the Chulin. If you want to go on the home days, the third line from the top, Nis'arvu b'chulin.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay, so that was case number one. That has the most drastic ramifications. The others, Baruch Hashem, although they are also problems or issues, they all have remedies, as you'll see. This arvu v'shor shenivda b'yaver. What happens if you had a kosher carbon that got mixed in with one or more shor shenivda b'yaver? What type of vera are we talking about? Says the Mishnah, oy shehemis is odom al pi eidachot, oy al pi habalim, or roiva, nirva, etc. What are we getting to over here? The shor shenivda b'yaver. The first example that the Mishnah gives is that it killed someone. No, isn't that the same thing as the shor hanisko, that the shor killed someone and gets skila? Didn't we already cover that in the first case? And the answer is no, because here we're not talking about shor hanisko al pi shnei eidim, we're talking al pi eid echad oy al pi baalim. Because of that, since you only have one eid, that is not enough to justify going and giving skila to the animal. And if it's Alpi Balam, says Rashi, also you cannot go and give skila, even though we normally hold Hiduas Baldin Kimeya Eitim Dami. So if he himself says, yes, it's a Shor Hamud, I know, and it's a Shor Hanisko, I know that it killed Yambuch Yankel Smith or whoever, etc. Nevertheless, Rashi says, it's Kimoida Biknas and Butter. Kimoida Biknas meaning, Who says that this justifies going and giving skila to this animal? The fact that the Torah gives skila is in a form a knas of sorts.
Can I add something?
You, not only can you add, we'd like you to add. Please.
I see it point to Ariel that the Torah has animal rights long before anybody else thought about that.
What do you mean? You kill 10,000 for one? That's animal rights?
No, but you have to have 280.
He's talking about this new case.
You're right. So I'm referring to the old case.
I know, okay. That's already history. We've moved on already.
We don't want to dwell on the past.
Exactly. We only want to dwell on the future. Yes, Hashem. We all have potential for the future.
All right.
Anyway, beginning back to this case, so you have over here an animal that you cannot give skila to because it was misa apiedech or apibalim, but nevertheless, it is still osur ligvoya. Now, why is it osur ligvoya? So Rashi quotes the pasuk which is at the very beginning of Parshas Vayikra. So he's teres so oila he oila al moitam is beach kol oila the boy kevesh on the beach to kerboy. V'lova shekoy mi devad amich sivad yosh sorry. And then it says the oil you bring min abakar u min atzoin takrivu es korbanchem. And the Gemara darshins from it actually starts off min a behema min a bakar u min atzoin takrivu es korbanchem. And Rashi already in Chumash brings the drushes, and Rashi over here does as well. If you look at the Rashi on the right hand side, about six lines from the bottom of the Rashi's, in other words, about halfway down the Rashi. Rashi says that the pasuk says min a behema, means min a behema, not all behemas. Only some behemas can you bring for a carbon. Some are disqualified, such as Lahoitzia Roiva Vanirva. Roiva Vanirva means an animal that engaged in what we call bestiality, meaning that it lived with a human being, whether it's male, whether it's female, doesn't make a difference. This behemoth now is disqualified from being brought for a carbon. Normally, again, if you had two Edim, then you would go and kill the animal, just like Chas Hashem, the person who lived together with the animal, gets killed for going and living with an animal. However, since there were no Edim, you only had one Ed, or Al-Pi Balim, the same thing like we had before, by the Shor, that never killed someone, Al-Pi Edim, Al-Pi Balim, Al-Pi Ed Echad, or Al-Pi Balim. So we'll see what the ramifications are momentarily, but therefore the Min HaBehem is Lohoitzi Reva Nirva, Min HaBok Lohoitzi Es HaNevad, Never means an animal that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah. Min Atzoyin, Lohoitzi Es HaMukta, Mukta means Tuv Shatim, either that they set aside this animal for Takroivis, Takroivis means to go and bring for a carbon, for a sacrifice for the Avodah Zarah, or other Mefarshim learn Mukta means that we set aside this animal to make it into an Avodah Zarah, but that day of inauguration as the Avodah Zarah did not occur yet, and if we're going to try to bring it for a carbon, it will never occur. So the pasuk says, "Min habehema, min habakar, min hatzoyin, takrivus kabanchem," comes to exclude all of these behemas: a reiva v'nirva behema, a nevad behema, a muktza behema, etc., etc. So, what's the halacha by all of these behemas that we are now listing in the Mishnah? So we talked about the Reiv Nirva, Mukta, Neva, and Mukta means set aside for Avodah Zarah, Neva means it was actually worshipped for Avodah Zarah. The Esnan U'Mechir. Now there's a pasuk in the Torah, Leisovi Esnan Zoyna U'Mechir Kelev, Beis Hashem Lekecha L'chol Neder. What's Leisovi Esnan Zoyna? What happens if you have a man who lived with a Zoyna, and she said, "I charge $200 for my services." He says, "I have no cash, but I do have with me a set." He has an animal, and then he gives that animal to her, and she accepts it, so that she got paid for her services.
Isn't that what Judah did with Tamar?
It's a very interesting sugya, but for another time.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But what's the din of that Esnan Zoyna? What happens if the Zoyna now takes that set and wants to bring it now for a carbon? The answer is no. You don't take it for a carbon. The Zoyna was menada to go and bring a carbon, and she figures, "Oh, I have here a set, I'll go and bring it for the carbon." The answer is, you cannot bring that for a carbon, it's disqualified. Mechir Kelev is different. Mechir Kelev means that a person who wants to go and buy or sell dogs. If you don't know what a dog is, just walk down the street here on Western Avenue, you'll get a refreshing reminder what dogs are all about. Anyway, so he wants to go and do a chalipin of a dog for a set. L'moshel, he had a dog, he wants to sell the dog. The purchaser says, I have no money, but I'll give you a set. And I said, oh, that's fine. The set is worth just the same as the kelev. And they make a switch, and he now takes the set. What am I going to do with this set? Oh, I'll bring it for a carbon. You can't bring that for a carbon. So now there's nothing wrong with them in terms of it's mutter lehedjoit. A person that owns that esnan or that mechir kelev is allowed to go and use that se and go and bring it to the shoychit and make out of it whatever lamb chops from this se. That's not about
sheepskin.
With sheepskin, exactly. However, you cannot bring it for a carbon. Once again, because of this possibly, you can't go and bring it. So the full list so far that we've had, and we continue on with that list on the Amud Beis, what happens, kilayim, what means kilayim? What happens if you breed it together, lemushal, a tzoin, a set, together with an aiz, you took a shapsala, a lamb, and you mated it together with a goat, and it had a child. That child is called now kilayim. There's nothing wrong with owning that gun. It is an iser of leisabia kelaim, for sure. What our Gemara is telling us is, you're allowed to own that kelaim if you find it in your local behemoth store and you say, oh, that's so pretty, so nice. And you see the different legs and the different nose and the different toes because it's a mixture. No problem, you're allowed to own it. You're allowed to have a no from it. You're even allowed to go and shecht it, and assuming that everything is fine with the shechita and the bedik and all that, you can even eat it. But you cannot bring it for a carbon. Why not? Again, because of a limud. It says in the pasuk, shor oy chesiv oy eiz ki yevaleid v'yoshev asyam tachas imoy v'yem hashmin v'ali yirot zel karbon ish el Hashem. The fact that it says shor oy chesiv oy eiz, that oy comes to tell you prat likilai. Oy they.
Right.
You can't bring that.
Yeah,
sure.
What is it, what do you do with the fatty tail? Is it a din of a sow or a din of a ace?
You can't eat it anyway.
And you're not going to bring it for a carbon anyway, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but you can't.
You can't eat it?
You can't eat from the sow, but I think from the
ace. You can't eat it because of the fact that it's full of fats. All in the back of the animal, it's always tons of fats, which would have the din of chet.
Normally that goes on in his back. If it's a sow, but if it's an ace, there's no.
Make a scarf.
All right, anyway.
So there's no fat, there's nothing to eat. What's the question?
It has a tail, though, a little bit. Right?
Well, that's it. He wants to tell about this tail.
It'll be a long tail.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kilayim. And then we go on to ubitreifa. Same thing applies when happens if the animal happens to be a treifa. We've talked about treifa at some length over the last few days. All we accomplished with a shechita of a treifa was we took away the tumah, maskim, gebalik. However, it's not kosher for a carbon. Okay. Then you have another one. Be yoytzi doifen. Yoytzi doifen means that the
C-section.
Exactly that the animal was not born normally, but it was born. We used to call that a kaiserschnitt, yes. Which today is called a C-section in English. Anyway, once again, all of these are no good for a carbon. There's no reason why a balabas that owns these animals cannot have a no. It's not osur lehedyit. It's only osur legvoya. Okay, so now I have my regular carbon oil, my carbon shlomim, or what have you. It got mixed in with one of the aforementioned. None of these are osel hedit, they're only osel gvoya. What do I do to perhaps try to remedy the situation that I shouldn't lose my oil or my shlomim or what have you? So says the Mishnah, there's an eitzah. Yiru achi estavu v'yimachru. What you should do is take, let's make the case simple, that there were just two animals altogether. One was the kosher oiler or shlamim. One was the bad animal, quote-unquote, the roiva, the nirva, the muktz, and the nevad, etc. So, in fact, Rashi at the outset says, going echod be echod, one with the other. So you have two animals altogether. Excuse me. Both of those animals at the moment are tamimim. There's no blemish whatsoever. So that is not the problem. There's no balmum. It has these rochnius issues, if you will, these spiritual blemishes, but they don't have any physical blemishes. So what you do is you have the two animals which got mixed together. You have both of them, yirachi estavu, let them graze until they get a mum on them. At that point, v'yimachud, you'll be able to go and sell them. V'yavi b'demei hayofesh behen mei oisoi hamin. And then what you're going to go and do is you're going to figure out which one is the more valuable of the two. They have the two animals got mixed in together. I ultimately they got mumin. I'm allowed to go and sell them now. And now what do I have? I got $300 for one of them, and I got $200 for the other. So I have $500 altogether. And I no longer have my animals. But I have to go and bring my animal, because that's the reason why I had my oila oshlamim in the first place. So what do I do now? I take the dmei yofa shebehen, in other words, $300, and I buy a brand new animal, and I bring that for my oila or for my shlamim. And the other two animals were sold to whoever is going to use them. They can use it for anything that they want, except for bringing for a carbon. So presumably they were advised that these were suffix a carbon and suffix one of these other terrible things. But they're all mutter lehedjot, so anybody can go and buy them. Just don't go and bring them for a carbon, because if you bring it for a carbon, it might be a kalai matreif or mechir kelev or esnan or one of those. That we enumerate
the Mishnah. I don't know if it's a treif. If you know it's a treif, you don't know which animal it is.
That's a very good question. I was bothered even more by the case of a kelai. Presumably right. A kelai, you can go and tell that it's kelai. Yeah. So can't you tell that the carbon that you were maktish was obviously not kelai? Because if that was also kelai, then you couldn't be maktish for carbon in the first place. Yeah. So presumably it looks like your normal shepsela, or looks like your normal goat, and then you find another one which was a mixture. So it must be talking about a case where we know for a fact that this Seh and this Eis made it, and they had a child, and miraculously it only looked like either the father or the mother, presumably the mother, and it looked just like a Seh, it did not look like an Eis. I happen to know that it was a mixture, but Lamaisa, it was not distinguishable from your regular Seh, and
the
therefore...
The phenotype, the genotype.
Okay.
The appearance and the genetic
Okay, good. So presumably there got to be the tray for the scientist said that there happens to be a hole in the head over here. Maybe there's a hole in the other guy too. So therefore they're indistinguishable. But about one of them, the scientist said this one really goes deep into the skull and never. It's a chai. This is a
tray for.
The tray for enachai, it's going to die in a week or a month or whatever. Tray for chai. Remember we had the two sheeps
so
yesterday.
Yeah, live anyway. You better put
exactly.
It in the field quickly.
Good. And then you have the other animal, which also has a hole in the head, but it doesn't go so deeply. But you can't see from the outside. You can't tell. And if I don't know which one was the tray for, which one was the kosher one, whether it was the carbon, not fine. Anyway, the mice they all got mixed in together. But here there's a remedy, Baruch Hashem. Mm. You don't lose your animal, you do lose a little bit mibeis soy, meaning that maybe the animal that you were makdish originally was the lesser valuable animal, it was only the $200 one. Now that it got mixed in, and they both grazed, and they both got mumin, you sold them, the other one is the more expensive. And since I don't know which one is which, you're going to have to go and allocate the $300 instead of the $200, so it's going to cost him a little bit of money, but he doesn't lose otherwise his animal. As well as the other animals belong to him too, the kalayim and the treif and the yoytzadoifin, which are totally mutter lehedjoit, you just can't bring it for a car. On to the next case, this arvu b'chulin. What happens if you have a regular, again, you have your oila or your shlamim, and it got mixed in with chulin. Chulin means that your other animals in your corral, your person owns a whole bunch of animals, and one of them he was makdish, he set it aside and put it in a nice little corral, but that animal kind of escaped because he wanted to have the companionship of his fellow animals, and it went into the other place, and I don't know now which one is the oila and which one is the chulin. So what do I do? Nesar b'chulin, tamimim, we're assuming that they're all tamimim, they're not bali mumin, yimkru ha-chulin litzorche. Litzorche means, really, litzriche, those that need oisei hamin. In other words, you go and publicize in the streets, or in the Bata Midrashim, or wherever you publicize things of that nature, if you would like to go and buy an animal for purposes of bringing a carbon oil or a carbon shlamim, come to Yankel Smith, he has such an animal. And then you come to him and say, Vosefes, how come you're selling an animal dafka for oil or for shlamim? Oh, it's very simple, because I have two animals. One I know for sure is a carbon. One I know for sure is chulin. I just don't know which one is which. So I'm going to ask you, please go and pay for one of these animals, whatever negotiated price they agree to. And so now, and since you told me you need an oil and shlum, that's why you came to me, so you're also going to make a carbon, let's assume oil, make life simple. I'm going to bring an oil, you're going to bring an oil, we just don't know which one is which. So the Gemara is going to, the Mishnah is going to say in another two lines, and Rashi says the same thing over here, the Kohen, when he's faced with this dilemma, that he has the two oilos, one for Yankel, one for Beryl, he doesn't know which one belongs to which, he's going to go and say, Yikarev l'shem mishehu. I have in mind that these two oilos should be allocated up in Shemayim to whoever it belongs to. So if this one on the right belongs to Yankel, Gesundheit. The one on the left is Beryl, Gesundheit. If it happens to be just the opposite, you kept them in a cover, no problem. The Mishnah tells us, therefore, that this is a way to lizos, to go and redeem this carbon, even without doing a redemption. All the previous cases, that previous case, the next case, we're going to talk about Yirachi Yestavu, until it gets a mum. Here, you don't have to give a mum. You have two tzmimim. Each one is roy, fit to bring for a carbon. One of them is already mukdish for a carbon. The other one is just chulin, but I can be makdish at any time. So what I go and do is find out from someone who needs a carbon. I have my behemah, I'll give you a 10% discount. You'll have an oiler, I'll have an oiler. We don't know which one is which. No problem. We'll bring it to the kohen, and the kohen will say, Yimachru l'tzrichei oisei hamin. Not the kohen's going to say that. I'm mistaken. He's going to go and sell it to Yankel, Beryl, Shmerel, whoever needs a carbon. And now we're going to have two carbonists side by side. One's Yankel's, one's Beryl's. I don't know who owns what. We bring the two oilers to the Mismigdish, and the kohen then decides. He doesn't make any decision. The kohen is going to announce, Rabbi Said, Yerutzoin, I'm bringing these two carbonists on behalf of Yankel and Beryl, and whichever one of the two carbonists that belongs to Yankel, that should be a kapora for Yankel, or a doiren for Yankel, and the one that belongs to Beryl should be Beryl's carbon. So he doesn't have to identify which one belongs to whom, he just brings both and says, I have in mind for both of you, each one to who it's allocated so to.
The point of making mix them up is that that way you bring it up into an ola, because you could tell which korban belongs to. Look, I got these two, I'll give you this one, the red one, and I'll get you the white one.
If one is white and one is red, then they wouldn't be mixed.
Easily distinguishable,
exactly.
Okay, let's call them white.
Well, so they're both are white. One of them happens to be, I just gave an example.
No, but barrel, you buy this one and put a little.
You can't say buy this one. We have two animals that we'll keep. Here, let's take two cups. These two cups are indistinguishable. Can you tell us between this cup and this cup and this cup and this cup? They're exactly the same. This one happens to be muktish for carbon oiler. This one is just a regular chulin. And they got, and they don't know which one is chulin and which one is an oiler.
Right.
So what do I do now? I don't want to lose any money, if at all possible. So I go and tell my good friends, any of you want to bring a carbon oiler? Yes. In fact, last night I had a dream. I want to bring a carbon oiler. Beautiful. Come to my house. I have an extra behemoth to go and sell. Which of these two behemoths are selling? Frankly, I don't know. One of them already is an oiler, and one is still a chulin.
Right.
So I just want to ask you, please buy one of the two. I don't know which one. You pay the $200, whatever it costs, and now he's masking, he pays the $200, and now he owns one of these two oilers. So I own one, and he owns one. Now both of us go to the Beis Hamikdash. We meet there our good friend, Yankel HaKoyin. Yankel, we have here two oilers. Could you please bring them? Sure. Who am I bringing them for? One belongs to Yankel Smith, and the other one belongs to Beryl Smith. But which one is which? Weissnisch? Nobody. I don't know, and he doesn't know. No problem.
But my point is, you could know.
How could you know?
When you sell it, what you don't know is which is an ola and which is a holin. You know, you said the left hand belongs to Yankel.
Yeah, but they got mixed up. This was originally oil and very chulin, and then somebody
before
went like that. And somebody
after
like
the sale.
Before the sale. Because there
the whole
was
reason why he's selling is because he doesn't know which one is which. If he knew which one is which, he'd say, chulin, Kaitsevek, go back into the corral.
But you could know that one, not which one is a chulin and which is a korban. You can know which belong to Beryl and which belong to Yankel.
No, because when I'm selling one of the two, I'm only selling the chulin one. I'm not selling the kodshim one. But I don't know which one is which.
Oh, so you don't assign it like the
kodshim. No, I'm not assigning at all. I'm just saying now, Beryl, do me a favor. You pay me the $200. You will own one of the two.
You have a corporation of two animals and you're selling them.
Sure.
Their share.
Fine.
A partnership. Right?
A partnership. Okay, so both of them now bring, but each one is bringing their own carbon. Bring their own carbon, the kohen said, but who belongs? Chweiss nicht. No problem. I bring oiler number one, l'shem mishehu, meaning either for Yankel or for Beryl. Ich weiß, ich der Boyne Shlom Kavyuchel, you know, whoever it belongs to, it should be for that person a schus and a kapara and a good tzach, and we're all going to say mazel tov and shkoyev for bringing the carbon oil. Now the second one, same thing. I don't know who it belongs to. Yanko Lebel, Boyne Shlom, you know, whoever it belongs to, it should be allocated to him for a schus, and now both of them do not have to bring any more oilos for the time being because both of them are yotz.
Thank you.
No problem. So Yimochu sell it to Yimochu Hachulin, keep the kochin the way it is, don't sell that, but sell the chulin, litzorche means litzriche, someone who needs oisei amin, who also needs to bring a carbon oila, and then the kohen will say, l'shem mishahu. What happens if you have kochim, bekochim got mixed in? What means kochim, bekochim? Yankel Smith owns an oila, and Beryl Smith owns an oila. They're both walking to the Beis Mikdash with their kabanos. The min b'mina over here doesn't mean in terms of cattle or in terms of lambs or in terms of goats, but we're talking about in terms of the same carbon. Hey, he has to bring an oila, he has to bring an oila. Each one has their separate oila. Okay, so now Yankel and Beryl are walking to the Beis Mikdash, each one with their oila in hand, and as they are schmoozing and learning and going over yesterday's daf and today's daf, then whilst they're not watching, these two got into a little bit of a playful fight, and they're running around, the two animals. And after everything is said and done, Yanko says to Beryl, do you know which one of these two is your oila and which one is mine? I don't know. To me, they're indistinguishable. They look exactly the same. Ach, why fish? Oh, there you call them shame mishu. Who was there you call them shame mishu? You give it to the kohen, you say, unfortunately, it was a mix-up at the last moment. I don't know which one belongs to him. Again, the same procedure as before. With the carbon, the kohen says, well, I don't know. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore I don't know whether this belongs to Yankel or to Beryl. So I'm bringing it L'Shem Mishu. Whoever really is the true owner of this carbon should get the benefit of all the schusim involved with this carbon, and whoever owns that carbon should have all the schusim of that carbon. And that's enough. You don't need to do anything more. Now, what happens if you have kochim b'kochim min b'she'enoy minoy? What happens if you have two kochim that get mixed in, but they're of different types? Now, normally, min b'she'enoy minoy would mean that you have, let's say, a young calf gets mixed in together with a lamb or together with a goat. But you and I both know that that is not a mixture that you cannot discern. Everybody can go and tell, this happens to be from Bokker, and this is from Toyn, and this is from
A. They have to be korban copies.
Corbin copies. Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay, so what are we talking about? Min b'she'ena minoy. That, for instance, one of them was an oilen, one of them was a shlomim lemushel. They may have been twin behemoths. But one I was makdish for an oilen, one I was makdish for a shlomim. What do I do now? So you can't go and say to the kohen, well, you just do l'shem mishahu or l'shem whichever carbon you want to, because there are differences in the carbonites. Number one, in terms of how many zrikay sadam. Number two, what do you do with the carbon afterwards? If it's an oila, it's kula kola on the mizbech. If it happens to be a shlamim, you go and eat it at home, etc., okay, etc. So that being at home, of course, in Yushalayim. So you have to decide which one is which, but I cannot decide because they're exactly the same. See, if it was min b'minoy, it's not a problem. But if it's min b'she'ena minoy, I got a big problem. Wait until they go and get a mum. Might take a while. Let them graze in the pastures. They get a mum, and now what you can do is you can go and be poy to them. The yovi b'demei yofesh behen mi min ze b'demei hayofesh behen mi min ze the yafsera moiser mi beisai. What you're going to go do is you're going to wait until it gets a mum. You don't even, there's in our Gemara the word v'yimachru is in parentheses. Rashi says you don't even need to go and sell them. All you really need to do is, after they get their mumen, go to an appraiser. Let the appraiser tell you how much they are worth. He's going to go and tell you, again, one of them is worth $300 and the other is worth $200. One of them, of course, was the oiler, one is the shlomen. I don't know which one is which. No problem. Bring two new karbonois. You cannot go and bring these animals because they're now bali mumen, but now we're going to transfer their kedusha to two new tmimim. And in each case, we're going to go and buy two tmimim for the higher price. Meaning, we were able to get from an estimate from our appraiser, this is 300 and 200. I don't know if the 300 is the oila or the 300 is the shlamim. I have a good idea. We're going to go and buy two new animals to meet them, and we're going to pay for each one of them $300, because maybe the oiler was the 300, maybe the shlam was. We don't want Kodshim to lose out. And this, of course, this individual that allowed for this mistake to occur, he's going to have to go and shell out some money from his pocket. Because if it's only worth, these two animals are worth 300 plus 200, that adds up to roughly $500. And he has to bring two new kabanas for 300 each. Okay, so he's going to have a shortfall of $100 in this arithmetic. Bring an oiler for 300 and bring a shlam for 300. The yafsid amoisri beisa, and that difference of 100, he has to incur the loss. Next case. This is the final case in the Mishnah. This arvu bebechor ubemaser yiru achi yistavu v'yoichlu kebechor ukemaser. What is this all about? Normally, when you have a regular carbon, whether it happens to be an oiler or a shlamim or a chatas or an asham, all of the kabbanis, with the exception of Bechor HaMaser. What happens if they have this problem that they get mixed in and I don't know what to do with it? What you can always do is that as long as it's a tam, then you can't bring it. If I don't know what's what. But you can wait until it gets a mum. Once it gets a mum, you go and sell it and you take the money and you use it to go and buy a replacement animal. So that's all wonderful. But Bechor HaMaser are very unusual, that if they get a mum, you don't try to replace it with a new animal, but rather you just give it to whoever the owner is, and he eats it almost like chul. In the case of a bechor, of course means a bechor behema tohira, you have to go and give that to the kohen. But bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, the kohen would bring it to the beis hamikdash and bring it for a carbon. What happens if this bechor unfortunately got a mum? So you don't go and sell it, and you don't go and redeem it, but what you do is then the kohen eats the Bechor in Yerushalayim without the benefit of going to the Beis HaMikdash. He just keeps it for himself and eats it almost like Chulin. I say almost like Chulin. We'll discuss what that means in a moment. Same thing as the Gabi Maser. Here we're talking about Maser Behema. Maser Behema, a person had the benefit of, Baruch Hashem, at least 10 or more animals being born into his corral that particular year. And now you have to let them go. Kol HaShiyaver Tachas HaShovet. You let them go one at a time. And then they say, Wasiri, Yir Kodesh. Then the 10th one is going to be Kodesh, and you have to go and put the sikra on to be able to identify it, so it shouldn't get mixed into all the other kabbalas. So I have my Masa Behema. What do you do with Masa Behema? Masa Behema does not go to the Kodesh. It does not go to the lady. It belongs to the Baal. But what does he have to do? He has to bring in the Beis Mikdash for a carbon. It's similar to a shlam, but it's called a carbon meiser. Now, what happens now with this Masa Behema? Like any carbon, you have to eat in Yerushalayim, it's a kachim kalim. What happened to the Masa Behema? Unfortunately, developed a mum, or even if it had a mum prior to your being to counting it, because kol sheyaver tachas hashavet, the pasuk says, loy, you shouldn't go and discriminate between a toy barav, rav a toiv, but rather let them all go tachas hashavet, and the asiri is going to be kachim. So, this is unfortunately Baal Mum. What do you do with it? You're not poyed it, you don't sell it, you don't redeem it, but the Baal Mum just eat it as if it were Kemat Chulim. Now, what means Kemat Chulim? This Bechor HaMaser, even though they have a Mum, and even though you're not bringing it for a carbon, but there is still vestiges of Kedusha left in them. And what are those rules now and regulations that apply? They have three rules. Because it was and is still Kachim, a Baal Mum, but it's Kachim. The halacha is, number one, l'yishchatu be'itlis. Itlis means a public slaughterhouse. Mm-hmm. A shlachtois, we call it in Yiddish. So normally, of course, all animals just go in the shlachtois, one after the other, you know, they go online, not the computer online, but they go online for shchita and yishchatam. Here, because of the fact that it happens to be Kachim, you have to go to the shoichit in a private place, not in public, and have this shechted separately from all the others. If you decide that you want to go and sell all or part of the meat of this animal, because you can't, it's just too much for your family, or you have a small family and you have this large mass of behema, what do you do with it? Then normally you would go to the public auction or the public marketplace, the meat market, and try to go and sell it. Here you don't sell in the meat market, you try to do a private sale from your own home or from your own store or whatever. And, of course, you're going to get less as a result because you don't have a public that is bidding for it. But because it's Kodshim, you don't want to be mezalzel in its Kedusha. Finally, the Yishkelu Belitra. Yishkelu Belitra means normally if you're going and buying or selling meat, you want to know the weight. So you go and put it in one of those old-fashioned scales, which you use with a litter. Litter on one side, yes. And you put the meat on the other side, and then you'll see whether it's exactly a litter or more or less, etc. Here you don't do that. You have to go and guesstimate what the weight is, and you have to guesstimate litoiva for the benefit of the purchaser, so that he shouldn't go and there shouldn't be oinah. As a result, you, the owner, are going to lose out a little bit. As always, the din, because we don't want it to be a zilzil in kosher meat, that it should be treated like just any other meat. So it's very special. Here too, we had a carbon that got mixed up with the bechor and the maser. So says the Mishnah, Yirat Shistav, wait until all of them get mumin. The yoichlu ki bechor u ki maser. And now all of these kabbonis, since you were poida, you only have to be poida the one that was the kachim. The bechor maser, you're not poida. In fact, the pasuk says leimochav leigoyel, no pidyon over there. But the one that was the kachim, the oila lemushal that got mixed in with the bechor and the maser, that you have to wait until it gets a mum, and now you redeem that one, and you take the money and buy another carbon oila. But what happens to the original three, the mechor, the maser, and that other one that was the former oila that became now a balmum? Oh, so that oila has to be eaten just like the mechor or the maser, meaning with these three restrictions that lo yishkatu beitlis, lo yimocha beitlis, lo yishkalu belitra, because since I don't know which animal is which, they all have that same chumrah. Finally, says the Mishnah, says the Mishnah now as kind of a final thought, it's conceivable that all types of kabbanis can be mixed one with the other, because in most cases, most kabbanis are, if you will, unigender. But there's certain kabbanis which are not. Chattis is always a
in the
cave. And Oshem is always a Zohar. So the Chattis and the Oshem can never get mixed in together, but it's not so simple. Mitchum, we get to Daf Ayin Hey. The Gemara is going to ask what happens, for instance, if the Chattis is a Chattis of a Nasi, and the Nasi brings a Zohar, which is a Zohar. So Mitchum, we'll get to that when we get to it. The Gemara is going to also ask, why don't you go and say the same thing, Menachattis Vil Oila? Because an oila is always a zachar, and a chattis is typically a keva. Amir Hashem, we'll talk about that. But in the meantime,
and also the time limitation, though, because the bechor and the meiser are 2 days and one night, whereas the ola would be only
not eaten at all.
Well, not the ola. Okay, let's say a chattis.
No, what you're saying is correct. We're saying we're not going to bring any of these for kabbanas. We're just
going to have the chumrah of them. But I'm saying in this case,
Bechor Masi, you have the
kula. Oh, which already redeemed the ola.
Once you redeem the oil, it's like regular chula.
I see, okay.
Then you can eat it for the next year.
Right, okay.
Choramas, you cannot.
So it's salted, though, refrigerated.
Yeah, for sure. I'm putting in the freezer. Okay, so with this, we have concluded the long list of all of the potential mixtures and the remedies. In the first case, there was no remedy. You lost all of them, but all the others, we were able to figure out a remedy. Now, first kasha is the kasha that we already touched upon when we learned the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, L'moshel, if you had one kosher carbon gets mixed in with 10,000 shor haniskels or 10,000 chatois amesois, all of them go to misa. Afilo! Not only if it got mixed in with one or two or five, even if it gets mixed into 10,000, all of them yimusa. It doesn't make sense. It's the other way around, if anything. If it gets mixed up in the 10,000, yimusa. But even if it only gets mixed up in one or two, it also goes to misa. So Timara, which we already gave the teretz, Hachin Ka'amar, anytime that you have numerous zvochim and one chatzis meis, or one lousy shor haniskel got mixed in with them, even if the offending chatzis meis or the shor haniskel was one in 10,000, and therefore it's ruining, if you will, 10,000, yimusakulin, unfortunately, they all go lemisa. Frey Timara, once you're telling me that, if you go to Masechtas Tumura, which we'll learn that in the not too distant future, on Daf Chav Ches, you have a Mishnah which begins, Kol Asurin Legabi Mizbeach Oisin Mekol Shehein Haroyve V'Hanirva. Roiv V'Hanirva just examples, and the Mishnah continues on with other examples like we had in our Mishnah. So it says anything which is Oisin Legabi Mizbeach, like Haroyve V'Hanirva, the Oisin Mekol Shehein. What means Oisin Mekol Shehein? Even if they get mixed up in 10,000, all of them become osir. So, Our Mishnah tells us this 10,000 rule, and that says oyster mechol shehein, which has the same impact. That also means 1 out of 10,000, even 1 out of 1,000,000. So, Ibazoi, aren't we repeating ourselves twice? Om Ravashi Amrita Shema Tekami Derev Simi Vatzrichan. He said, no, we need both Mishnais. Im Yosef, we'd only learn Yana Mishnah. Have a min hanimil legvoya av lehedyut eim aloi. What does that mean? That Mishnah is talking about things which are osa legvoya. For instance, a roiva v'nirva. Roiva v'nirva is mutter lehedyut. If I know that my animal or somebody else's animal lived with a human being, it's a terrible thing, no question. However, you do not bring this animal for a carbon, because it says, minabokar, minatoin, minabahema, minabokar, minatoin, takrivo, and one of them, I think, the minabahema, excludes the roiva v'nirva, so I can't bring it for a carbon. But I can keep it for myself. And therefore, if this behema is, let's say, a cow or an ox, and is able to go and do malach in the field, absolutely, do as much, you know, do as much harisha, as much plowing or threshing or whatever it can do, and I can go and shecht it and eat it. There's nothing wrong with that. So that's only osa legevoya, but it's mutter lehedyut. It says Gemara, why do we have to have both? Dimi osa for yena mishnah mesechtas tamura. Have a minute, hani mila legevoya, that you're talking about karbonis, which are kolasur legam mizbech. They're only osur legam mizbech. They're only osur legevoya. That's why oyser bekoshe, how the hedyut emalai. When you're talking about those kabbonis which even osur to hedyut, maybe this halacha wouldn't apply. Ve'imehachem, we only say in our mishnah have minahani hu diisur hanoninu avahani emalai. In our cases, they're isur bano. What means they're isur bano? Like the Shor HaNisko and the Chumash Chatois Meisis. Not only they're an isur achil with isur hano as well. Uvala Shor Noki. Says the pasuk Vala Shor Noki. Then Balabas Yetsi Noki min chasad ve'in lem behem. That's the passage that you were quoting before. Yeah. The Bala Sharnoki, the Gabi the Shor Niskum. Shkoyach for helping me out. Anyway, so getting back to Gemara, Hani Yisra. No, that's why it says in our Mishnah even 1 out of 10,000. Avahani, but in the other case, Roi Vanirva is not also Ba. No, Imaloi. Three, you have to have both cases. Freiti Mo Lavi Yisra Ninu Hotanale. The case of Lavi Yisra, no, we have in our Mishnah as well. What do you mean? Because right after this first Mishnah, which we talked in the first Mishnah, there's a first case in the Mishnah by the Shor HaNiskol and the Chatois Meisis. Right after that, we spoke about Nisar v'Bishor Shenivdu b'Aveira and the Ruiv and the same Ruiv and Erva. Oh, so we have the same case both in our Mishnah and Yana Mishnah. So, Frank Timur, what do I have to have both Mishnahs for? The Lav Yisur no Ninu. That's these cases, like the Ruiv and Erva. It's not also Banot. What do Banot to a Hedget? Hartonly just state the Chogan in the Mishnah. So, Timur, Amiktani Bekama. It doesn't say in our Mishnah how many it got mixed into. Only in the first case, by the Shor HaNiskol, we said, Chomish Chatois Meisis, we said, Achas Baribay. But after that, we didn't say how many. In fact, Rashi said at the outset, he could be even talking about one and one. That Mishnah over there tells us, the Kol Shehen, that's awesome, Tani. By uns, it doesn't say the Kol Shehen. That Mishnah, if you go back again to the beginning of the Mishnah that we were quoting, Kol Asun V'gam Mizbech Oysim B'Kol Shehen. Oh, so that's why we need Yana Mishnah. Of course, the Achronim talk about, so why didn't we just add that to our Mishnah, and then you don't have to have it in both places?
And also, the language of our Mishnah is, it's Arvu Bishor, Shneva Boravera, and then you got oh, like a whole list, like right. Semicolon. Mm-hmm. It feels like it is including it in all those cases.
But it doesn't say how many. Okay. In other words, are we talking about...
Well, we have the first part of the Mishnah is defining principle.
Yep.
And then the semicolon, and then these are the instances.
Chagamar holds it that you don't learn it like that. There it says, Beferish Kochein, it doesn't say Beferish. Freiti Mar V'nisni Ha V'loi Boi Ha. So let it just have that Mishnah in the Sechses Tamura, since it tells us the din of Kolshein, which we don't have in our Mishnah, Noi Bazoi. So what do we need our Mishnah for? Just go and tell the Mishnah over there that Asas B'Kolshein, that already includes our Mishnah. Evdimara, Takan Zitzrichalei. Our Mishnah comes to tell you the Takana. That Mishnah only tells you the problem, the issue. Kolasurin, Legam Mizbeach, Oysa B'Kolshein, Eroiv V'Nirvat, etc., etc., etc. Now the question is, what do I do about it? That Mishnah is silent. For that, you have to come back to our Mishnah, which tells you, oh, depending on the circumstances, for instance, Reuven and Nirva case, we had at the top of the Yomid, Yirachi Estavo, Yimach, Rabbi Yavi, Bidamei, Ayofa Shebehen, like we had. That doesn't say in that Mishnah. Of course, again, why didn't Rabbeinu Kodesh just put the two Mishnahis together, and you don't have to repeat it twice? Our Mishnah, it leaves out the Kol Shehen and leaves it for that Mishnah tomorrow. And that Mishnah leaves out the Takana, and we have it our Mishnah Masechtos Vachem. So the Echroinim talk about these issues, but bottom line is, that's why you need both Mishnahs, because each one teaches halacha that is not present in the other Mishnah. And we'll stop over here to head you to Mishnah for tomorrow.
Wow, record time.
Getting took for you too. Zaki Ben Zaki.